called order this regular assembly meeting in the city of Borough, Greenville, Alaska, on Tuesday, February 28, 2017, at 7 p.m. The pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member Steve Pizonka. If you remain standing for the invocation by Nettie Colvall with the Presbyterian Church.
I seek pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful place in the world we call home. We thank you for the beauty of the snow, and we thank you for safety for getting here. And we ask for safety for those who keep the roads clear and the lights on and the waters flowing. Be with all those who are gathered here tonight, that their actions and their words and their hearts be full of what you would have them be full of. Be with all people as they're driving around and make sure that everyone returns safely home. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to chat a frog in my throat right when I started.
Oh, come on now. I heard you say salute.
We have no ceremonial matters listed this evening.
Okay, Rico.
Roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert.
Here.
Pizonka.
Here.
Rainey.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Bass.
Here. Item 3, amendments to the agenda.
The only item would be to delete item 15. 15A.
Without objection, we'll do that.
And could we maybe just have clarification why we're deleting item 15A just for public record?
I think basically the item was for the borough attorney to talk to the assembly about the various things that are going on. At this point in time, the presentation and the draft agreement they presented, he was traveling yesterday. We got it at 4:30 here, and he didn't get it till today, so he hasn't had a chance to review it or look at it or give advice to the assembly at this point. But I think the plan is once he does, we can do something. We're willing to do a special meeting or however we can accommodate search in the ICS in this process once we get to that point.
Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest for any item on the agenda? Item 5, consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda items 6A and 7A.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Did you have something to discuss or just?
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Yes. Gilbert?
Yes.
Pizonka?
Yes.
Rainey?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, borough manager's report.
Other than the written report, the one thing on there, we are doing everything we can for both the upcoming water season and also the new plant. We've been working diligently with USDA on funding and all the millions of things they need from us. One of the things we plan to clean the sand in the sand filters before this summer, and we've had I can't remember his name, Lauren, at the gravel plant out here, the concrete plant. And he's got a lifetime of experience dealing with sand and cleaning, and he's got an idea that he believes will work. And the only thing we need now is some weather to go do it. So as soon as we get a little break in the weather, he's going to come up here, and the old sand that was outside, they're going to start with that and kind of practice on that to see if that will work. And they've done some experimenting with Actually, Amber had a little video that showed the clean sand, and she put a couple gallons of water and timed it through there, and then she did the existing sand, and it took about 3 or 4 times longer for it to go through the same amount of sand. So we believe that if we can do this and make this work, and we're getting, hopefully we can get the green light for me to spend some money. But we're going to have to rent some equipment, probably from Tyler Reynolds and Ketchikan, and probably some extra manpower to move the sand out to clean it and stockpile it and then move it back in. We've got some little, we're limited on the size because they've got any of the equipment has to be able to fit through the doors we have. So these little bobcats that they have that we'll probably rent a couple of them so we can keep things moving. And then the new plant, like I said, we're working with USDA, and we're trying to, we think we can get the original number that was tossed out at the assembly of $13 million. Actually, our Amber and our water treatment plant operator have gone through that, and they've gone, had some ideas with the engineer, and we think we can shave a lot of money off that. That might be more receptive for USDA to fund. So that's where we're at, so we're hopeful there that down the road, but we're kind of doing both these things at the same time. But anyway, we're going to be doing a bunch of things this next month, probably the sand cleaning. We're also going to get together with both Trident and Sea Level to sit down with them to see what things they have done. In June, we'll probably start our conservation publicity for the community, and so we're as prepared as we possibly can be when we get to the summer. So.
Yeah. Have we come up with some sort of guidelines that we have that says if we're at this level or we're not producing at this level, we're not going to sell to the cruise ships. We go on to go to DEFCON 4 and prevent, because I really felt last year we were, you know, one week it was, hey, things are looking a little tight, and the next week it was, we're in a full-on crisis and they want us to divert water from the city. Right. I'd really like to see us have a plan that says, if we have X amount of rainfall, we have X amount of turbidity, we have this, I mean, surely we can really draft it out.
I'll ask. I don't know how that would look like, but I can certainly ask. And
the reason I raise it, Jeff, is that I just worry that it appears, it may not be the case, but it appears that we fly by the seat of our pants a bit. Cruise ship comes town, wants water. We're like, yeah, we've got water. We'll give them water. And then all of a sudden, that was a bad thing. And I would really like us to have it kind of laid out.
And kind of answer your question, but it's funny because the previous year, they actually ran more, did less to conserve. We give the cruise ships water, and we survived the summer. So just the perfect storm happened last year with everything that could go wrong went wrong. And so, but I think we certainly will be more prepared. We will be able to produce more water. But you're right. I think those kind of things, what can we do? What can we not give water if it's the cruise ship or whatever? So,
Jeff, I would like to see on this equipment you're talking about from Tyler, can we get it from local contractors?
If they have it.
Okay, so let's check our local before we pull it in out of town. And my second thought
is, and that's got to be really small because the door is pretty narrow.
I understand. So, yeah. But I would like to make sure we do all efforts to help our local contractor first. And I agree with Steve. I don't think, but where I have the problem is selling 40,000 gallons to the cruise ship. Our system can't be that vulnerable. We can't be so narrow that you sell a load of water to a cruise and the city runs out of water. There's something wrong with the whole basic system when that happens.
Right.
You know, and a lot of communities, when they get tight on water, they'll bypass the part of the screening or processing and then put a warning out that this water is unfit to drink. But you still have water or, you know, something to that effect. But maybe we should develop a crisis plan. So if we face this,
And we can bypass, as an example, last year, if there was an emergency for fire, they can bypass, but once you do that and it goes into your system, then...
The whole system's contaminated.
Contaminated, sure. And you have to chlorinate...
Every house.
Everything, and for a long period of time and do tons of testing. So you don't want to do that unless it's an absolute
I agree.
Crisis.
I agree. So, but we should have some kind of a catastrophe plan in place.
And I think for the fire last year we did, because if it got down, there was no water in the tank, and there was a fire, we had a plan to bypass that for fire protection. And the
other thought was, is when we start getting close to our critical time, we shouldn't have to be doing the cleaning of these stations. These stations should be cleaned way before we have a water shortage coming up. We know when our demand is. You've got about 3 months out of the year the demand's there. So the stations should be cleaned and ready to go before that peak season arrives.
And they are. The problem is that system wasn't designed for the kind of water we have. And they just get plugged really quick, and we were having to clean those like once a week, each bay, and the problem was just the method we had to clean them isn't very good. But you're right, the slope and the system is really designed for a lot better, clearer water coming into the system, and then you wouldn't have to clean them once every 6 months or something.
And so where are we on plumbing the first dam into the second dam? Have we made any progress?
We have not.
Okay.
And again, I think part of that is we've got one person that's trying to do all of this stuff, and she's the one that would have to get all this out. She's been spending basically every single day for the last couple months working on either the new plant and or the old plant stuff. So that's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
And other than that, that's all I have.
Any further questions? Thank you. Borough Clerk's file.
Other than what's in the report, I don't have anything.
Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Does any Assembly member have any reports? Yeah.
I just want to say thanks to the city workers for the good snow cleanup. From what I saw, it's been really, really good. And in particular, whoever's been plowing the bike path along the water, it's been really nice. So thanks.
Just a SEPA report, Mr. Mayor.
Sure,
we had our meeting in Petersburg. Revenues are looking a lot better since everybody's running heat 24/7 trying to keep warm. Still concerned about the Swan project in terms of water. You know, we ran it down so low, and we're hoping for some good inflows here. The project, the Swan project, is signed off, and we are done. All of the software is completed, and so that's good for Wrangell and Petersburg because it adds capacity to our overall system. And so the hope is always that if we're not flowing energy into Ketchikan, if they don't, you know, if we require it up this way, we can flow it the other way. We did reach some maximums over, I believe it was in December, with everybody heating with electricity. We started to run some towards our maximum output out of Tai, and we had Ketchikan actually ran diesel to offset some of the demand. So I've called for an increased push into looking at the third turbine for Tai. It's going to be very expensive. We don't actually have the capacity to run all three turbines, if we had three turbines, to run three continuously, but it would give us some peaking advantages. And what happened was we actually had something go down at Tai at a crucial time where they had to shut down the one turbine, so we were down to one. Petersburg was really cooperative and helped us out because they have some ability to draw off of other sources, which we don't have. So in the end, it was a great cooperative effort to prevent us from running diesel through that time period, which of course would be very expensive. The other thing, while I was there, I had a chance to tour the new Petersburg City Hall, which was over the top. I think we'd be strung up in the streets if we ever tried to do something like that here. But it's a beautiful facility. What struck me the most, though, is as I met with the city manager, and we talked about staffing levels. I was blown away at how many staff they have there. They have a clerk, and then they have an assistant clerk for the clerk. They have planning and zoning person, and then they have economic development person, and then they have a, and we ask our staff to cover off all these different areas. And, you know, I was impressed, I guess, with coming away realizing how lean and mean I really think our borough is, the number of staff that they have working at their water plant. We have one and a floater, and I can't remember how many he said they had, but it was definitely over 4 or 5 or something. So we're asking a lot from our employees, and I appreciate everybody's effort for us to keep making things work. It was really eye-opening.
Thank you. Well, I attended AML, and quite frankly, AML is not up to what they have been in the past. The program itself, I was able to meet with our representatives and senator and express our appreciation for the past efforts and that, to keep up the good work, and hopefully the money for Shoemaker Harbor stays in there. They're gonna do their best. Also spoke about the ferry system, which was they, both of them being from Southeast, are quite aware of what this ferry system is. And while I was there, I guess one of the senators spoke out against the ferry system, said, what do we need a ferry system for? The people here can either fly or drive. So, you know, that's how they... One thing is that Senator Murkowski had a talk there for a while, and she said she in the past had a map of the state of Alaska as an overlay, and overlay it when she was talking to the U.S. Senate, she would put that up there and over a map of the United States. She said she stopped doing that because people just still couldn't understand the concept of the size of this state. So she started overlaying it over a map of Europe, where it covers up Germany, France, parts of Italy, parts of several countries, and the massive road system that they have there, which Alaska has nowhere near the amount of roads they have, the mileage or anything. And she claimed it had a great effect on people when they could see it that way, how this state is bigger than some European countries. So, and we have the transportation system that we do not have. Anyway, that's about it for that, for AML. So, moving on to 10B, City Boards and Committee Appointments. We did have a letter of interest on the Economic Development Committee from Kevin Skeek. And we're good. I will go ahead and appoint him to that vacancy on the Economic Development Committee. There are 2 vacancies remain on that committee that expire on October 2019. So we will keep advertising. Just one now? Okay, one more vacancy. So hopefully someone else will step forward when we get that board filled.
Anybody in the audience?
Item 11, persons to be heard. We have 2 persons to be heard. Mr. Ben Neumeister from AICS Search and Mike Walker from AICS Search. I ask you to keep it within a reasonable time for this. Which one wants to go first?
Well, I guess I'll start and Dan will follow. Is it all right if we pass out some packets to the assembly?
Sure.
Well,
would you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, Mark Walker, 520 Church Street.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're disappointed. We had hoped to speak with the assembly a little more directly, but I guess we had a communication breakdown, and so we'll do the best that we can in the short time that we have. In your packets, on the left-hand side, I've included this, which was a copy of the presentation we made before the assembly November 8th of last year. And in the second to last page, there is a summary of the merger benefits and aspects that take place. And most notably, I want you to draw your attention to the fact that in the merger, there's going to be continued collaboration and with WMC. There's going to be enhanced reimbursement for AICS, which is going to help us significantly mitigate the impact of budget cuts on the state level, particularly for our state grants, and for what we expect to be a fairly significant reduction in Medicaid expenditures. Just as an example, we have one of our smaller grants has to do with serving developmental disabilities. We've just gotten notification that that's going to be cut in half this year. So what we are expecting to happen is going to begin happening to many of our programs. And this merger is designed to try to address and mitigate those impacts. Also, a benefit is that we're retaining local jobs. No one is going to be laid off, and we're going to preserve services here in the community, which is quite significant in these times of financial challenge. I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to review in this presentation packet. If you turn to page 11, I did a memo to the assembly discussing the history of the clinic built up there at Wood Street. And just to quickly hit some points there, originally our medical clinic was located at the hospital where physical therapy is located right now. That space was too small and inadequate for our needs, and so we submitted a grant in 2009 to build a new clinic, and that grant was submitted to the federal government. We were fortunate to be funded for that. Part of the requirement of submitting that grant is that we had to demonstrate site control of a piece of property that we were going to be able to build on. And so we took an option on some property that was located near the current hospital. Once we received that grant, the then city manager, Tim Rooney, came to us and wanted to facilitate the possibility of us moving to the Wood Street location, or what is known as the new medical campus up there. And part of his proposal is that he would supply us with land if we would consider moving to that location. And in this packet on page 14, there's a letter outlining the intent of the city in transferring that property. One of the intents there was that it was going to be for the benefit of the community and continue to preserve the collaborative relationship with WMC. And there was only one condition, and that condition was that if we receive the property, that we build a clinic. And so I believe that's the intent of the revisionary clause that's in the warranty deed. And I think that AICS met that condition by building that clinic. Another issue is that the value of that property was undeveloped land. land was about $10,000. However, it was going to be significant cost to AICS above and beyond the amount of the grant that we received from the federal government. And that amounted to close to $1 million, which we paid for from our own resources to build the clinic at that location. And part of the reason that we did that was that we agreed that it would be in the best interest of our collaboration with the hospital and for healthcare into the future. Whenever the federal government gives you a capital grant to build a building, there's what's called federal interest in that building. And the purpose of that federal interest is to ensure that the building is used for the purposes that the grant was provided. So everyone knows that when we received that grant to build the clinic, whether it was at the property adjacent to the hospital or the property that was provided by the city, there's going to be federal interest in that. And we didn't have the option of simply building wherever we wanted. We had to petition the federal government to change the location. And we needed the cooperation of the city to also petition the federal government so that we could change the location to the clinic, to the new location on Wood Street. And in your packet on page 17 is an example of the letter that the city manager wrote at that time petitioning the federal government to allow us to build the clinic at that location. And also in your packet, if you're interested, on page 17, we've provided an FAQ of, you know, any questions you might have about federal interest and what's involved there. Finally, it was uncertain at the time whether the hospital would be able to secure the financing to locate at the new medical campus. And we did not want to move there and be alone. We were only wanted to move there if the hospital, in fact, was going to build. So part of our condition is that we will go ahead and move there if, in fact, the hospital will build. And in your packet on page 23 is a letter from the hospital that basically commits that they were going to begin construction in 2011 and complete in 2013. So on that basis of that commitment, we also moved to that new location. Unfortunately, as we all know, the hospital was not built there, and there's been a significant ongoing cost to AICS to provide services at that location and also providing them at the hospital. It's very inefficient for our providers to have to go back and forth, and there's considerable loss in productivity and therefore loss in revenue for AICS, which has been on an ongoing basis since we moved to that location. Going forward, we think that this merger is going to help AICS. It's going to stabilize services for the community. We haven't really run into anybody or any groups that are really opposed to that. We just found support. I think there's support here on the assembly. In your packet on page 25, there's a letter of support from the chamber. And on page 27, there's a letter of support from the hospital, plus a copy of the resolution supporting this. So we're looking forward to move forward and complete this merger by the end of March and hopefully resolve these issues that we have put before the assembly. So with that, I will turn this over to Dan to talk a little bit more.
Thank you, Andy Meister, 3100 Channel Drive, Juneau, last night. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Honorable Mayor and Assembly, for letting us speak a little bit today. We had a very fruitful conversation about a month and a half ago with a workshop, and I wanted to just kind of go over some of the real positive things that came out of that and our commitments back to not only the community of Wrangell, but also to the medical center and to yourself. On page 30 is the draft memorandum of cooperation. That is one of the ideas that came out of that workshop to not only basically put in some writing things that we've been saying. can see the last couple whereases on page 30. You can see that we're talking about collaborative efforts with KICS and Rialto Medical Center, and then working together in cooperation with one another to support the healthcare needs. So we tried to put that down in writing for you. If you also look on the next following several pages, it talks about services provided. As I think you know, ASES and Rialto Medical Center have had a very nice positive relationship helping each other through that process, and we have continued to put that in writing here for you. I've had numerous conversations with the hospital administrator, Mr. Rang. He's an excellent administrator, as you well know. It is our desire to continue to utilize those services that are there. In fact, as we make the transition, there's quite a few employee drug tests and employee testing that has to go on. Rather than bringing our own nurses in to do that, we're actually going to use the medical center for those services. The other thing that's been pretty important, it's always very important in small communities, is jobs. And we actually have 4 jobs posted right now. Several of them are replacements, but several of them are new that will be in the community of Rialto. And so those pay between $40,000 and $60,000. So those are positive jobs that we believe are good for not only the community, but also good for service and good for ASCS. As you look at paragraph number 4 on page 32, it talks about change of scope. And since we really don't know what's going to happen with healthcare, we do know certainly that there are some challenges in the state. They've already committed to cut about 10% in the Medicaid budget to all providers and to hospitals. This language allows both parties to come together and say, how can we work things through and make sure that it's still cooperative as we try to make sure that healthcare is provided in the community. Paragraph number 5, the same page talks about the advisory council, which honestly we feel is really important, because one of the things is we want to make sure that the services, the issues, the patient satisfaction, the needs for this community are maintained. And so this gives a way for members to provide input and directional feedback to search. And we've expanded that at the discussion we had in the workshop of having an assembly member be a representative in addition to the hospital administrator with Rialto Medical Center. So actually 2 positions on this advisory. Under paragraph 6 is probably some pretty important things that we've talked about. First of all, payment of taxes. We're putting that in writing very specifically that we'll continue to pay the taxes that have been a concern that certainly the AICS has been paying, that we'll certainly continue to cooperate with clinical care. Federal interest, as Mark has already talked about that, we're more than happy to work however we can around those issues. I think there's just honestly some pretty significant misunderstanding about what that is and what that means. From an assembly perspective, the great thing about federal interest is you've got to have a clinic there. And I think that's really your desire, if you want to have a clinic there. So I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing to have HRSA's federal interest in place. We're also committing that we will serve all patients. We've said that. That is really what CERCS does everywhere throughout our entire Southeast, except in one location, and that's only because of capacity issues in Juneau for our primary care. But everywhere else where we have the capacity, we treat everyone. And actually, as a HRSA site, you're mandated to treat everyone. So actually, not only is it this is within our mission statement, what we do, but it's also a requirement for the federal government that even though we assume the HRSA grants, by assuming that, you're mandated to provide care to everyone, regardless of ability to pay. So that's kind of a double whammy insurance category for you. And then property rights agreement, that is just something we've tried to be creative with to share with you various options. I know there's obviously read recently in the paper your hope to move forward with a new hospital, which is great. If for some reason that CERCS was in the future going to sell the property, we'd certainly give you first refusal rights if that was of interest to you. If you have a concern about this federal interest and want to have this revisionary clause, we'll be glad to financially pay for it. There's different options. So we're trying to be very open with you and give you options to look at. Not sure they're very necessary, but if that is the desire of the assembly, we put that